Father God, thank you for inviting us to join you here this morning for this worship. It's your idea, calling us here to worship you corporately. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You remember that the phrase that I gave you last week that I said we would be including in each one of our talks in this series was this: God is far more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. Far more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. He never, ever said he was going to make you comfortable. And as a matter of fact, most of you would say, he just did the opposite with me. Made me very uncomfortable. In a good way. We may not see it when we're right in the midst of it or when we're getting ready to go into it. But on the other side, we can all proclaim, yeah, that was good. That was great. That I was uncomfortable. So why is God so interested in your character? Well, your character is, it's who you are. You and I, we can't escape our character. In fact, it's been said that no man can climb out beyond the limitations of his own character. It's impossible. Your character is who you are. It's an integral and an integral part of your character, I guess I should say, is a word that we don't often associate with being a character trait, and that word is obedience. Ooh, we don't like that word, do we? Obedience. If we're honest, in our independent, postmodern society, obedience isn't a word that we look favorably upon at all. In fact, obedience is not even one of those secular character traits. Obedience has become, well, not a four-letter word, but a dirty word. We, after all, are independent, aren't we? We're independent souls. We like to be entrepreneurs, where we don't have a boss. We say things like, no one is my boss. No one tells me what to do. I make my own decisions. I guide my own future, my own destiny. I have to obey nobody. Just myself. Obedience is viewed as oppressive and negative in today's society. But to God, obedience is the non-negotiable character trait. All throughout the Bible, the non-negotiable character trait. Look at Colossians 2:6 with me. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to Him. Continue to live in obedience to Him. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. It's something we continue to do. You must live in obedience. Well, bless you. It must be something in the room. You see, obedience is simply following God's direction, following His guidance, His commands. Obedience means, if we were to give a definition to it, obedience means, for our purposes here, obeying completely and obeying immediately. Completely and immediately. Obedience has to be complete because you can't decide when you're going to obey God and when you're not going to obey God. That's not obedience if you do that. And you have to obey God immediately because obedience is never delayed. You hear that? Obedience is never delayed. You don't say, yeah, God, I like that idea, but give me 3 years. I'll do it in 3 years. Yeah, I think I'll be ready for it in 3 years. Obedience is only obedience if you respond when you're told. It's not obedience when you obey only when you feel like it. Have any of those people in here? I will obey, but I'm going to do it when I feel like it. So why does God require complete and immediate obedience from you, from me? You see, God created you, and because He created you, God knows what's best for you. And God loves you. And because God loves you, He wants the very best. The very best in your life. So when you obey God completely and you step outside of your comfort zone, remember we talked about comfort zones last week, and obey Him immediately, you're going to experience God's very best in your life. Any of you Navy guys in here? Former Navy guys or whatever? Any of you? One? We only have one Navy guy? Two? Two Navy guys? Three? Anybody else that's afraid to admit it? Any of you spend time on an aircraft carrier? No. Dave? Nope. Nope. Well, I want you to take a look at this little video here from the USS George Washington, 1916. No, 2016. Yeah.
Just witnessed is a rare occurrence, but unforgettable for those who survive it. As this single-seat FA-18 Hornet traps, the arresting cable stretches to the breaking point. When it breaks, the plane quickly disappears over the side and into the waters. Training saves the pilot, who ejects immediately. This yellow shirt miraculously jumps the cable as it whips under him, not once, but twice. Other well-trained crew members are not so lucky. As the cable snaps back at over 100 miles per hour, it takes out everything in its path. 7 crew members are injured. 3 in serious condition are immediately evacuated by helicopter.
They say if that arrestor cable snaps, which happens rarely, but if it snaps, it can cut a person in half. So if and when that happens, the command immediately goes out, hit the deck! And what do you think the sailors do? They hit the deck. They hit the deck. They don't stop and turn around and ask, why are they telling me to hit the deck? If you do, it's too late. And you don't complain about having to hit the deck either. You do it because It's a matter of life and death. And we're going to discover today, I hope, that obeying God in every area of your life is a matter of life and death too. It's even more important than being on the deck of an aircraft carrier, because there's going to be eternal implications to your obedience. I think maybe the person that sums all this up the best for us is a fellow named Abraham, and that's why I want to look at him today. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up from the beginning here that Abraham was not a perfect person. Some of you know the story because I hear you laughing. Abraham did some things that weren't exactly, shall we say, kosher in his life. But God used him anyway. Why? Because Abraham was usually obedient to God in the things that God asked. Today we're going to focus for the most part, though, on the very beginning of Abraham's journey with God. The time when Abraham first stepped out of his comfort zone, what he was familiar with, to obey God in a big way. Look at Genesis 12. This is where the story of God, of Abraham stepping out, is found. And you'll notice his name is Abram here. Genesis 12, 1 through 4 says, "Then the Lord told Abram, 'Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous.'" Famous Abram, not famous Amos. "And I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of earth will be blessed through you." Abram departed as the Lord had instructed him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Well, so let's see about this idea of obeying God. What does obeying God require? Well, obeying God requires that, first of all, I discover God's will. It requires that I discover God's will. As I said earlier, you won't find obedience in any list of secular character traits. It's not there. But during this series, we're not talking about secular characteristics. We're talking about characteristics of the Christ follower. We're talking about the characteristics that God wants to develop in you and me. So as we begin to think about the trait of obedience, it starts with this issue of knowing what God wants you to do. I think that's one of the things that's deep down in each one of us. We want to know what God wants us to do. Because after all, how can you be obedient to God if you don't know what God wants you to do? And that's what discovering God's will is all about. Last week when we began this journey, we looked at Noah. And we saw that Noah's journey began when he first heard from God. God spoke to him, right? So it is with Abraham. It's the same with Abraham. Abraham's story begins when he first hears from God. Genesis 12:1 says, "Then the Lord told Abram, 'Go.'" Go. That's a little small word, pretty interesting word. It's not exactly that specific, is it? Go. Go. How do you know God's will? How do you know when God's saying to go or when God's saying to stay? What are some principles that may be related to discovering God's will? Well, these aren't in your notes. I actually added these this morning, but you may find space. There's a lot of white space on that second page there that you can maybe jot these down if you want to. Some principles to knowing God's will. The first one is this: God's will is not hidden. God doesn't hide His will. We call this discovering God's will, not looking for God's will or searching for God's will. God's will's right there in front of you. People say all the time, I don't know what God's will is for me. And I wonder, do you ever pause long enough to listen to God? Do you ever stop and just listen to Him? You see, the issue with God's will is not that God's not speaking. The issue with God's will is that we aren't listening. It's kind of like this room here. There's FM radio signals all through this room, aren't there? They're passing all through this room. We don't hear them because we don't have the right receiver, or we don't have the receiver set on the right frequency. But if we tune in the cheapest of receivers to the right frequency, we will hear the signal that's in this room. It's been here all along. It didn't just all of a sudden show up, but now we're tuned into it. It's exactly like that in the Christian life. God is constantly speaking to you, speaking to me. He's constantly trying to say to us, go or stay or proceed or back up. But we just aren't listening to Him. So the first thing you should know is God's will is not hidden. And secondly, I would say God's will is rarely given in its entirety. God doesn't show you the whole picture at one time. I'm not sure we could stand the whole picture at one time. We'd run the other way, most of us, if we saw the whole plan that God has for our lives. He shows us a step at a time. God doesn't give you the full picture. He lays it out step by step by step. And He wants obedience along the way. He gives you a small step, and if you're obedient in that small step, He'll give you another step to see if you're obedient in that step. And if you're obedient in that step, He gives you another step. And then maybe after you've had three or four successes, He'll give you a big step. And maybe somewhere down the road, He says, Newt, you're ready for the big step. Let me give Him a big test here. Number three, God's will is customized to the individual. His will is customized to the individual. Have you ever thought of that? God's will is customized for you. It's unique for you. God has a unique plan, a custom plan for you. He's created you with a unique personality and unique talents. So it was with Abraham. In Abraham's case, the message, go, was customized for Abraham. He was God's man. And God had planned for him to be the father of many nations. Why Abraham? Why not Benjamin over here? Why not somebody else who lived in those times? I don't know why. I don't know why. I just know that God chose Abraham to do those things. Why does God choose me to do certain things and you not to do those things? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that God's plan is customized for me and for you. This desire to discover God's will is one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith. 1 John 2:5 says this, "But those who obey God's word really do love him. That is the way to know whether or not we live in him. If you obey God's word, we know whether or not we live in him and he lives in us. Whether we are a part of him and he is a part of us." I want you to understand this. Discovering God's will is not a test of your salvation. You got that? Whether or not you're going to heaven does not rest on the test of God's will in your life. It's a test of submission. Are you going to submit to God? Oh gosh, we guys hate that word, don't we? Every time we hear submission, we think we got to raise a white flag, you know, and give up. And in essence, that's what we're doing. We're saying, God, I give up. I give up. I can't do this on my own. I want you to take over. Man, that's tough. We don't want to admit that we have to depend on anybody, do we? Nobody. Even God. But that's what he wants us to do. God calls us to seek his will, and he'll test to see if we will submit to his will. You say, I've been looking all over for God's will. I've been looking for years for God's will. I've been asking for God's will. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you got alone? Just you, the Bible, God, maybe some prayer, and you said, God, show me your will for my life. And then you sat there and shut your pie hole and waited. And waited. And waited. He'll show up. He'll tell you. He will explain to you what his will for your life is. Obeying God requires that, number two, I join God's work. It's not just enough to know God's will. A lot of you sitting in here know what God's will for your life is. You know it. Most of us would say that it's good for a Christian to know God's will. But then you've got to join God's work. What God is doing. A lot of us know a lot more than we're joining. A lot of us know what we should do, but we refuse to get involved in it. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I can see it on your faces. Yeah. Sometimes this can be a crossroads in your life, a decision point in your life. A lot of times we know what we should do, but we just don't want to take the action to do it. Jesus himself faced that very temptation just a few hours before he was to be crucified. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And he said, God, I know what your will is. I know it. I know your will is for me to offer myself as a sacrifice on the cross. But I'm wondering, is there any other way? Is there any other way? In that time of prayer and that time of frustration, God told Jesus, that there was no other way. And then Jesus prayed a very interesting prayer that we all should remember. He said, "Then God, not my will, but your will be done." He was saying, "I'm going to join your work because, God, I know what you want me to do. I could choose to go another way, but instead, I'm going to join you." And it's only in that moment, when you decide to join God's work, that you get in on God's best, His very best for you, and you can experience all that He has for you in your life. So here's how Abraham responded to this discovery of God's will to go. Genesis 12, 1 and verse 4. God said, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house." Abram was 75 years old when he left. Now in America, we get all hung up on this issue of him being 75 years old. Wow, he was 75 years old. Pretty startling thing. A 75-year-old guy would pack up and go. But you see, the miracle in this story is not that Abraham was 75 years old. The miracle in the story is those last two words. He left. He left. He obeyed. He didn't just discover God's will. He joined God's work also. He got involved in it. He obeyed. He left. Let me give you two insights into joining God's work. The first one is this: obeying God always requires leaving my comfort zone. I've used that term a few times. Last week we talked about comfort zones. It's that area of your life where you just feel like you can kick back and do whatever you want to do, and you know, you're comfortable here. You don't have to worry about anything. You know what's going to happen. If you do this, you know what the result will be. You know what to expect. Nothing unusual is going to happen. That's your comfort zone. God wants to get you out of that comfort zone. You can't grow if you're in that comfort zone. So He wants to push you out of your comfort zone, make you uncomfortable, grow you, stretch you. The only way that you join God's work completely is to get outside of your comfort zone. That's the only way. If you think God's calling you to do something, but it doesn't make you a little bit nervous, doesn't make you a little bit uncomfortable, then maybe God's not calling you to do that thing. Maybe it's just a nice feeling that you have. Otherwise, He would be stretching you and making you a little uncomfortable. When you start stretching yourself in small ways, then God can use you in big ways. But it's only by taking those small steps of obedience that you build up to that point where you take those large steps of obedience. In the life of Abraham, as we begin this story in chapter 12 of Genesis, we see the initial steps of his character development, but that wasn't his last steps. It was just the first of many, many, many steps that Abraham took. Along the way, he takes some small steps, and even once he had to take a really large step Some of you know the story. And God tested his character in such a way that God called Abraham to be willing to sacrifice his firstborn son, Isaac. Wow. Hopefully God is never going to ask you to do something as extreme as that. But I can promise you God is going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable. How was Abraham able to pass such a large test? Well, it was only because in his early life he was willing to take small steps of obedience outside of his comfort zone, so that later on, when that big test came, he was able to pass it. And the second insight on joining God's work is this: obeying God always requires trusting Him fully. Trusting Him fully. Obedience requires trusting that God knows what's best for my life and believing that He wants to bless me. Both of those things. Knowing that God wants what's best for you, and knowing that He wants to bless you as well. He knows what's best and He wants to bless you. Before Abraham could follow God obediently, he had to trust God completely with his life and with his entire future. Genesis 12:1 says, this is God speaking to Abraham, "Go to the land that I will show you." Notice that Abraham had to take the first step of obedience without knowing where the final destination was. "It's over there, Abraham. I'm going to show you where it is." He couldn't see it. He had no idea where it was. God said, "Go over there." Without knowing what the finish line looked like. No idea where he was going to settle down or if he would settle down. He had to take that step of obedience without knowing what was going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, that would make me really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. Imagine God telling you to take all of your belongings, place them in a car, and to begin driving west. Go west, young man. Away from your family. Away from your friends. Away from everything that you knew. And go to a place that you didn't know. And he would tell you when you got to that place. He'd say, "Stop." And you would find out when you get there that you didn't even have a job. That you didn't have any way to support yourself. That you were just going out and you didn't know what was going to happen at all. And then imagine that you're 75 years old. But that's exactly what Abraham did. He obeyed God. Even though he didn't know for certain where he was going or what the final results would be. That's how life is sometimes, isn't it? God asks us to take a step out of our comfort zone. Some of you have been on a mission trip. Some of you have stepped out in service. Some of you have prayed with someone for the first time. Some of you have shared your faith with someone that you work with for the first time. Oh my goodness, how scary is that? When we take that step, we can't see what the future holds. We can't know for certain what can happen. And a lot of times, instead of trusting God, what happens? We look around and all we see are the difficulties. All we see are the negatives. All we see are the uncertainties. We're afraid because we don't know for sure what's going to happen. So we say, no, God, no, no. And when we do, we miss God's purpose for our life. We miss God's mission for our life. We miss the adventure that God has planned for us. Why? All because we don't trust God completely. Let me ask you, is there any area of your life today where you're having trouble trusting God? Is there? For some of us, we're living a long ways away from family and friends that we've grown up with. You may find yourself here alone or here with your spouse and it's just you two. For some of us, it's a big financial strain to live here. God has plans to use you to make a difference in this community. I do believe God wants you to be used in this church to make a difference in this community. God wants you to commit to be a part of this church. Not just come sit, soak, take up butt space in here on Sundays, but come and be committed. Anybody can soak up the oxygen. Join Him in His work. Commit to be a part of this community that we live in so that God can use you to make a difference in this community, so that God can use you in this church to help transform this community, because that's part of our mission statement. 2 weeks ago, you saw how y'all made a difference in this community. 6,380 pounds of food. Three tons of food that we gave to a pantry, food pantry up here. Over 3 tons of food. Can you imagine that? Dr. Randall drove off in a truck and it was dragging the ground. And he was grinning. You know? And it was you. You made a difference in the community. We have another opportunity. Whoops. To make a difference with homeless people at the high school. They need some Gatorade in Teen Angels. You know, from time to time we help with Teen Angels with food and with clothing and different things, toiletries. They've asked us for the summertime to come up with some Gatorade. And I see we're already stockpiling Gatorade back there. Sent out an email this week to ask you to bring in Gatorade. Doesn't matter what flavor, doesn't matter what size. Bring in Gatorade and stockpile it back there in that little hut. And we'll call Renee and say, come get the Gatorade for the people at the high school. We have Gatorade for them. So let's see. I don't know if we can get 6,380 pounds of Gatorade, but we will try. We will make a difference in the lives of those homeless kids at the high school. But you have to trust God, because the biggest part of obedience is just that, trusting God. When we don't trust God, we don't obey God. We miss out on what He has in store for us. We miss out on that adventure, and it is an adventure. It's fun. It's always fun to be doing God's work. We miss out on the plan. We miss out on the purpose that He has for our lives. It's so fulfilling to know that you are doing the thing that you were created to do, the thing that He has planned from before the foundations of the earth for you to do. Wow. And if you're having a hard time obeying God because you don't trust Him with your life, you need to know this. You need to know this. Listen to this. God plans for your life are for the very best. And I'm going to ask you to make this next verse your personal verse. Jeremiah 29:11. It's on the screen up here. And there's no reason that we can't read this together. It's also in your handout. So let's read it together. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I think y'all can read a little better than that. With some enthusiasm, okay? Oh my goodness. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Memorize that. If you're going to memorize a verse, memorize that verse. Let that be your verse. And lastly, obeying God requires that I experience God's best. This is a good one. Genesis 12:2-3 says, well, actually, if we back up there, God says to Abraham, if you obey me, if you step out on faith and obey me, this is what I'm going to do. And then he says this, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Abraham obeyed God, and God blessed him greatly. Abraham became the father of three faith traditions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. He has descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Have you ever been out at night, away from the lights, seen the stars in the sky? That's how many descendants Abraham has. And get this, Abraham lived over 4,000 years ago, didn't he? And yet we're still talking about him and teaching about him today. 4,000 years. That's twice as long as it was that Jesus walked on this earth. That's 20 times as long as George Washington walked on this earth. 4,000 years, and we're still talking about him. Why? Because Abraham obeyed God. And then God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. You see, Abraham means father of a great multitude. Look at Genesis 17:1 and then verse 5. Later in his life, because he obeyed God, here's what God said to him. I am the Almighty God. Obey me and always do what is right. Your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham, because I am making you the ancestor of many nations. Wow, that's Abraham. But what the heck does that have to do with me? That's what you're asking sitting here today. Well, let's forget about Abraham and let's focus on you for just a few minutes here as we close. You see, you're sitting here in your comfort zone right now. And God's asking you to take a step of obedience outside of your comfort zone in a way that makes you uncomfortable, in a way that brings uncertainty, in a way that God wants to take you because he wants to bless you. Now, obeying God today maybe looks for you like trusting God. Maybe it's in the area of your finances. Maybe you have never tithed before. Maybe you've never given 10% back to God like he commands. Maybe you've never obeyed him in that. And the step that he wants you to take is to give him 10% for the first time, to honor him in that area of your finances. Maybe obeying God today for you looks like inviting a friend to church or sharing your faith with a friend for the very first time. That can be scary. That can take you outside your comfort zones. And as I'm saying that, you're probably thinking of that person. And you know God wants you to reach out to that person because he's been preparing you. And let that person know that you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower. And invite them to church. Even better, bring them to church with you. But you haven't been able to take that step of obedience yet. Maybe obeying God today for you means giving up a sin in your life that you just refuse to let go of. You know it's wrong. And you know you should let go of it, but you haven't taken that step of obedience yet. Maybe obeying God today for you means ending an unhealthy relationship that you're in. You know that the relationship is not good for you. But you're holding on to it for security's sake. Because you keep telling yourself you don't want to be lonely. Maybe God's telling you to take a step outside of your comfort zone and let go of that relationship. Let him be your relationship. Listen, God wants the very best for your life. He wants to bless your life. Do you believe that? Do you? God wants to build your character. He wants to make you into the best person you can be. The person he created you to be. Do you believe that? God wants to bless your relationships. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your careers. He wants to bless your finances. Do you really believe that? God wants to bless you, and he tells you what you need to do and how you need to live in order to receive his blessings. The step you need to take is that step out of your comfort zone, that step of obedience to him. And when you obey God, you open the door to God's blessings in your life. It's as if you've closed the umbrella and all those more shower down upon you. There is no barrier anymore. Father, for many of us here today, obeying you and stepping outside of our comfort zone is a scary proposition. We can't see the future, and it's frightening. It's frightening to step out into the unknown. Whether it involves a relationship or a career or our finances, whatever it involves. God, you know how intimidating it can be. But today, God, we acknowledge that you created us. And you know what's best for us. And God, today we acknowledge that you love us. And you want to see the very best in our lives. So God, help us to obey as Abraham did. And when we do, bless us beyond all that we can imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.